As we all know, today's a very special day. It's a time for the ordination of the deacons. We're going to have the Lord's Supper, but particularly the ordination of these deacons. And I just want to take a brief moment to talk a little bit about the deacon's responsibility. And I tell you what, to our tech team, I think I gave you all the wrong scripture, but I'm looking at Acts chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, find Acts chapter 6, and if you don't see it on the screen, it's not their fault, it's my fault. So the first few verses there in Acts chapter 6, and I don't intend to deal with this in a thorough expositional way. I just want to point to a few things about the deacons and really what this is all about, the responsibility that deacons have. So Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, in those days, as the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint. Imagine that. By the hell, isn't that real to life? It lets you know that this really happened, right? We're not the only ones. So there is this complaint, and it's between two groups of people, the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. So different two Hebrews, two Jews, some are Grecian or Hellenistic, and some are from Palestine in that area. So it's an ethnic difference here. So their widows were being overlooked in this daily distribution in these early days of the church. And then the 12 summoned the whole company, the disciples, and said it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters. And you can read under their financial matters, administrative affairs. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint for this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry. And the proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte from Antioch. And they had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the preaching about God's word flourished, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly. And a large group of priests, of course, that would be a Jewish priest, became obedient to the faith. One of the major problems organizations today has to do with accountability. And you know, have you ever heard that phrase, if everyone's responsible, no one is responsible? Do you know what that means? I've said that before, and I really didn't understand think through what it means. But if everyone is responsible, no one is responsible. In other words, there's an accountability that has to take place. And so it's actually called diffusion of responsibility in organizations. It's a social psychological phenomenon whereby if everyone thinks everyone's doing it, then no one's doing it. And what happened here with these early Christians was who was responsible. And there was this dissension that took place. And so they appointed some people who were responsible for this, who would take this. And so this passage really, when it comes to the deacons and the ordination of the deacons and what's going on, has to do with responsibility. And so, you know, the question is, what's a deacon to do? What's the deacon's, or the deacon ministry, we could call it the diaconate, what's the responsibility? So if we look at this passage, there's several things real quickly. And again, not in a thorough way, but let's just point to these. I think from this passage, any of us that look at this would conclude that a deacon's main responsibility is to serve. I mean, they were supposed to serve in what? If you look at that passage, if you have it there, the distribution of the food. And so it's not like an authoritative kind of a position here, primarily. And there is some authority that goes with service. But the primary responsibility, I think we can all look at and say, is it's service. In fact, if you look at the very word deacon It comes from a Greek word, diakonos, which is the two words, dia, which means through, and konos, diakonos, through the dust. And so here's a person that's willing to go through the dust, literally, to get the job done. He's, let's say it this way, he's willing to get down and dirty. Okay, here's a person that's not afraid of serving to do what's necessary, even if it means getting dirty. And so I think the primary responsibility is service. I mean, that's just not what I think. I think that comes, it's obvious from the scriptures. So look at that, to serve the Lord. The second thing, to see the possibilities. Second thing, see the possibilities. And what are the possibilities? Well, the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples, if you look back at verse 2. So they're saying it's not right for us to give up what? Preaching about God to take care of all these other things. Financial matters, keeping track of who gets where with what with the money, and walk around with a, you know, a money purse, and keep and make sure everybody gets served correctly. We're going to have these men serve so that we can do what? Did you see that? Concern ourselves with two main things here: the ministry of the word and prayer. We're going to select these men who, with these qualifications, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint. And there are other quotes. We could go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and that's probably the passage I had for our tech team up there, but I decided to go with chapter 6 at the last minute here. So the main thing here is their responsibility to serve so that there's something can happen. And the something that can happen is the God-called pastor is able to study God's word, to deliver the truth, and along with that, prayer. And so it's not, we want to free you up, pastor, to do what God's called you to do. You get with the word and you pray about it and you do what's, and you deliver the truth with the result that God blesses. God blesses. And sometimes we see this wonderful result, to see the possibilities that there is a multiplication. Sometimes in some places, we don't see the fast multiplication, but the main thing is, regardless, the truth goes out. And that truth is saturated, that is the delivery of the truth, with prayer. And so things don't just, we don't just do things according to our whim. I mean, there's an order of things and matters in the church. And there's the delivery of this word. And so we don't need to be ashamed of that. I was reading, in, I don't know if you have the passage from Titus chapter 2 up there. I had a couple of passages. If you don't have it, I'll skip it. Here we go. Yeah. If you, and he's talking, Paul writing to Titus, you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of what? Your teaching. And so it's a serious thing, the teaching ministry of the church. Drop on down to the next verse. You must teach these things. What are the things? The gospel. And so the gospel is taught to encourage the believers, not discourage them, but to encourage us. There's a spirit of unity. And you have the, and he tells Titus, you have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't anyone disregard what you say. So we don't need to be ashamed of standing strong on the Word of God and proclaiming the Word of God and admitting from the Scripture that there is an order in the church as to how that's done. We see the possibilities. One of the responsibilities of our deacons is to serve the Lord and then see the possibilities to what this church can be and do. Keep those possibilities. It's wonderful. God can do wonderful, great and mighty things through this church. I really believe that. I'm convinced, as your pastor, that the best days for Lebanon Baptist Church are not in the 1950s or 60s, but in the future. And I want you to know I'm committed to that. And I believe that. I really believe that. It can happen. Wayne Gretzky, a great hockey player, was once asked how he was so successful in what he did. And he said, I skate to where the puck is going to be, not to where it has been. Remember that. See the possibilities. How can we get this word out? What can we do? Stay true to God's word. A third responsibility of the deacon is to support the church. Support the church. And I think we would assume that means financially, of course, but also with prayer, ministries, unity, love, to support all the teaching ministries of the church that we have. Look at all the ministries that we have. We saw one ministry this morning. Teresa Hughes, where did she? She's somewhere in here. Teresa, there's a ministry. Those kids, that's a ministry. Anybody want to volunteer? Thank you, Teresa. That's a ministry. We need to allow for that. We ought to be there supporting that. But I mean, that's just an example because they're here this morning. There's all kinds of some people go out in the van and the bus and pick up kids. But the youth, support that ministry. Get behind that ministry. Work to build it up. And I see some of these youth right down here. God, and over throughout this, we need, as a deacon, you have a responsibility to undergird that, to nourish, not to undergird it, to serve, support the church with your love. With your prayer. Ask yourself, what can I do to help move this church along? What can I do to empower this church to make its best mark for the kingdom of God? Is what I am doing promoting that? Your love and support. It's necessary. It's called for. And these men are to be men of wisdom. And these men are to be men of discernment. They're to be full of the Holy Spirit. And the men that you're going to ordain this morning have been interviewed, and we have determined by what you have seen and by what we have seen in them that they are full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And we want to support them and their growth because they love the Lord, and you get behind them. And then lastly, to survive the critics. it's no mistake that look at this. This is what's encouraging about this, and then I'm done with this part. But the most encouraging thing to me is that out of a complaint in verse 1, there grew growth. Growth came. And so if they just stopped there in verse 1 and fought about that, we got these over here and we got these over here and blah, 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 and they could have wrangled about who was getting the most food. Well, we're going to give you this more than... Instead, they met together in a spirit of unity, and they said, what can we do to move this group along for the kingdom of God? And God blessed it because they had the right spirit. God blessed it, and the church was able to prosper. That's a good thing. I want these deacons, well, I speak to all of our deacons. Survive the critics. Survive the critics. Stay with the stuff. Love the Lord. Support this church. Serve this church. See the possibilities. And God will bless. Charles DeLeo is called the keeper of the flame. Charles DeLeo, for years and years, was the keeper of the flame, the Statue of Liberty. And, he would clean up all the trash and the refuse of all those birds up around the Statue of Liberty, do the mechanical repair. He would check on Lady Liberty. He would make sure all the bulbs up there at the top were all okay, and he would keep it clean. And it would mean a 16-story hike up to the torch, which is 4 stories higher than the crown, every day. And he retired, and then he would come back. I mean, he did this like for 30-something years. And then he retired, and he would come back and kind of lead tours. But I like what he said. God has given me the honor to be keeper of the flame. God has given you deacons an honor to be a keeper of the light that God has lit in this place. He says he gets up there every morning and walks around, and it's like a chapel to me. Truly, these men in their service, wherever you go, for all of our deacons, it's like a chapel to you. When you serve the Lord, you are a keeper of the flame. It's a high responsibility. It's a high calling, but it's also a glorious thing. Amen? You join me in saying amen? Lord, I'm thankful for this church. I truly am grateful for the love of this church. I'm grateful that years and years ago, someone got together at this place and they decided to carry on the work of Jesus Christ and they started this church. And I'm thankful that across the years, the word has been proclaimed through this place, in this place, for your kingdom. And I'm thankful that we can have a little bit to do, a part to play in this. I'm thankful that you've called me to under-shepherd this church. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we can stand together and rejoice this morning. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask our deacon candidates to come forward. Jason Cornish and Dale Reinschild. And I'm going to get, for our tech team, microphone number 7. And I tell you what, since I'm the shortest, I'm going to get the tallest. I'm teasing. But it would be easier. I don't know. This just sort of happened that the tallest one was in the and that we really need to work on these things. I don't know. Maybe I should. You think that's sturdy enough? Okay, if anybody gets hurt, since they've already been, workman's comp, I guess, would come in, all right? So I hate, but anyway, just for now, if we want to stand, that's fine. I want you to know that these two men have, like I said, they've been recognized by the church for what the church sees in them. And that's, they both know, this is a great honor, and it is an honor. It really is. But the honor is serving the Lord. Just like Charles DeLeo said, his honor was, you know, cleaning up all the bird stuff up here in the top of the statue. So this is an honor. But I want you to, rather than have them give a formal testimony, we all, I think public speaking, you know, shouldn't be the prerequisite for being a deacon, all right? So I just wanted to make this informal, let you get to know them a little bit. But let me, Jason, start in alphabetical order, Jason Cornish, and just ask you, tell me how you came to Christ.
Well, I was very fortunate. I got to grow up in a loving home that had parents that started the walk for me very early. So I met Christ as a youth.
Okay. All right. And that was, tell me what that was at, I forgot, you're just out at St. Joe area, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I know. And you had heard the word probably from being from the time you were a child. Yeah.
Parents, grandparents.
You know, remember that, folks. You parents and grandparents, you're having an effect on those kids. You may not see it, but you're having an effect on them. You stay with that. Dale, how did you come to Christ?
Well, it was on a revival night at our church, and about midweek, the youth were out running around prior to service, and we came in and gathered right in the front rows. And it was about the third row back. I remember it pretty vividly, and kind of off-center I was sitting, and the time calling came up. And I stood up, and I knew what I wanted to do, and came forward and accepted Christ. And it was an emotional thing, you know, as far as youth, but it was, I truly knew what I was doing. I remember whispers as I was going by, Dale, where are you going, you know? But I knew what I was doing, and that changed my life.
Yeah. Was it like at night?
It was in the evening, about midweek.
How old were you, about?
About 12.
Yeah, okay. You know, you don't have to know your exact age or what the weather and temperature was, but I'm glad these guys have a memory. You know, if they have a memory of it, and I hope you do too, of coming to Christ. All right. Well, Jason, if you wanted this church to know one thing about you, what would it be?
Yeah, you asked me this question. It's harder than you think to come up with one.
I said, well, that you don't like to speak before people. That might be the one thing you want to tell everybody.
I thought about it, and what came to mind was pretty much my favorite verse. I use it almost every day. It helps me get through the day, especially on a challenging day when some events may be coming up. It's going to be difficult. But I always refer to Psalms 118:24. For the Lord give us this day, let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every moment's important, isn't it, folks? Yeah. And this is the day. You know, I say that verse just about every day, too. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice. And I look forward to seeing that joyful attitude, too, in you. And I see that it's obvious. It just shines through. Amen. What about it, Dale?
Well, I'd like to share a little bit of my history, and that's starting with Deborah. And I wasn't looking for a wife whenever I found her, but I found a good one. I tell you, at 23 we took on quite a role and moved, and there was a lot in our lives that took place and blessings. And we had two boys that are now fine young men, and so I look back in awe as to everything that we went through and how God opened doors, and we were willing to walk through them, but sometimes it's called luck or destiny or chance, but I knew that it was the Holy Spirit that was guiding us, and some of those times in awe and prayers answered that the Holy Spirit was knew our hearts before we even knew what to pray, I stand back in awe and look at that. And coming through that front door of the church here was a blessing. And I know we were led by the Holy Spirit in our first day, Sunday morning here. We sat about where we're sitting right now. And we were committed to this church. We knew that Sundays and Wednesday nights that we were committed to it and have never looked back. I guess if we ever do slack off a little bit, we need to move front and center a little bit off center. So we're still in those seats, but it's a blessing. We love everybody.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, y'all don't know that, but when you know, if you're going to confuse the preacher, just move where you're sitting. And I'm all right. I appreciate both of these men, their testimonies. In their way. And I know you affirm that. But I want to give you kind of a formal way to do that. Okay? So in just a moment, you're going to receive a charge or sort of a challenge or slash command from one of our deacons. And the deacons are too. So what I'll do is ask if you guys could just sit right here for a moment. And thank you, both of y'all. I felt like I was putting them on the spot by those questions, but I just wanted to have that opportunity for you to get to know them. Philip, Dr. Zink, is our chairman of deacons, and our vice chairman, Eric. Where's Eric Wilson? He's coming, and I'm going to move these out of the way. And why don't you just go behind the podium? Hey, we're not so formal here, but... And this is a challenge to the deacons, right?
This is the challenge to the deacons.
Why don't we have our deacons stand, and then we'll have the congregation stand for that other challenge.
Dr. Whitlock already did a great job kind of explaining what our roles and responsibilities are. And so this is just a challenge that reaffirms some of those roles. So my charge, the church's charge to you is, I charge you to serve others in the manner of the Lord, who came not to be served, but to serve. I charge you to defend the truths of the faith as one who loves and cherishes the scriptures. I charge you to share the good news that Jesus Christ has come to save those who are lost. I charge you to love the church Christ died for and to look with eyes of compassion on all of his children, to seek peace within the body of the church and work to maintain it. And lastly, I charge you to love your family, to share the love of Christ in the home. For if we fail there, then we fail here. And if we love there, there is always hope here. If you agree to do your best in fulfilling this charge, say I do.
This is a charge to this church body. I charge you to pray for these deacons. Pray that they will walk with integrity and stand in God's love. Pray that they will let Christ pick them up when they stumble and that they will reach out to those who are hurting. I charge you to support these deacons. Offer words of kindness and encouragement to them. Let them know you appreciate their acts of service to the Lord. Walk with them, not against them. Stand with them as together we share the love of our Lord to the world around us. Please respond by joining me in saying, we do.
We do. Thank you, Eric. I'll now ask the congregation to be seated. You'll notice in the scripture, they laid hands on them. And that's a symbolic way of saying, we set you aside. And we recognize God's anointing on you. And we affirm you. We affirm you. So I'll ask our two deacons to come and if you would just come and stand and face the congregation. And then if you we don't have knee pads, but if you would just kneel, you can do both. I don't know how your knees are, but if you want to, you can do both or one. That's either one is fine. And now I'm going to ask all ordained people, if you would come and form a line, any ordained pastors or deacons, if you would now come, and we will lay hands on them, and we will affirm them, all right? And you come and join me. Beth, would y'all come and stand? In that New Testament example that I in the earliest part of the early church, it was the apostles that laid hands on those men. And since none of us are apostles, I want to open it up to anybody in the congregation. If you would like to, it's really the church that's setting these men aside. And so they've had the laying on of hands by others that are ordained. But since we are a congregation of believers, let's all stand together. We'll just do it that way. And if you would feel led to come and just kneel, go ahead and keep kneeling if you could. If you want to come and bless these men and set them aside and whisper in their ear a word of encouragement, then I want to leave that open to anyone in the congregation. therapist, physical therapist for these two guys. You can stand now. If you can stand. He can't get up. Oh, it just brought tears to my eyes to see God work. Just to watch you love on these people and your affirmation. And then just to see it in the whole congregation. Just to see your eyes of love on them. Praise the Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for times of encouragement like this where we can just affirm people. And the church, Lord, this church has recognized the deacons within each one of these men, the servant attitude. And we want that to flourish and grow, and we as a people of God love them. Lord, help us to love them. And they love us. And I pray that this would be a wonderful experience of ministry for all of us together as we glorify your name. In your name we pray it. Amen.